Welcome to Betamax Rewind, the only podcast that judges a man not by the content of his character, but rather the rideability of his dick broom. Here are two guys that would definitely be replaced by robots if anyone could figure out exactly what they do. Matt and Doug.
Gotta pass the censors.
You did. Congratulations. It's back. My bell is back. Yay.
And, you know, we try to be topical on this podcast. I try to make sure I reference something from the last podcast and the current podcast. And also snuck in something about what is going on in the world. Because MLK Day was Monday.
Ah.
But it's Matt. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good. I'm financially a little stressed after today.
Okay, I'm sure we'll hear about that.
Sure.
But let's go ahead and jump into it.
And now, it's time for podcast housekeeping.
My week, I will go first. Sorry, Mrs. Dietrich was indeed hot. I don't even think it's debatable. That's all there is to it.
She was not.
Okay.
Is that yours? Is that your first one?
That's my first one. Yes.
That's what you're leading with.
Yes.
All right. Oh, okay. We talked about Dirty Harry and what movie did we do last week? Malone.
Yes.
Yes. And with his 44 auto mag, and we talked about probably one of the more famous lines in the Dirty Harry movie besides, go ahead, make my day.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
He says that line twice in that movie.
Okay.
And that was in the beginning, and then he says it at the end. When he's holding up the main bad guy in the movie, and it's a little bit more defined. It's, well, do ya, punk? Like, there's more anger in his voice because this guy just hijacked a school bus full of kids. But the guy that he's holding up is Albert Popwell.
Yes.
And I said, oh yes, he showed up in this movie and he showed up in Sudden Impact.
And?
Aha. He's been in every Dirty Harry movie.
No,
so he was the,
no.
What?
He was not in the Deadpool due to a scheduling conflict.
Oh, he was. That's right. The Deadpool was a Dirty Harry movie with Axl Rose and Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the bank robber in this. He was the pimp in Magnum Force. And do you know what he did in Magnum Force?
No.
He poured a bottle of Drano down a hooker's throat in the back of a cab because she didn't give him all his money.
Nice.
He was Mustafa in The Enforcer and said this.
You Mustafa?
Yeah, that's right. Why don't you just come into my office here? Just you.
Don't worry, Pig. We'll see if she don't get lonesome.
Well, that's mighty white of you.
And then he was also Horace King in Sudden Impact. And that's where he didn't bring the 44 auto mag. Dirty Harry was firing the auto mag, and he showed up with a shotgun to do some target practice with him.
Okay, so I had all that stuff in slightly different order. I didn't have any clips for it, but I did make a mistake, so I guess
Matt fucked up.
Because I was right, and then I doubted myself, and I took it back. Little Forrest was played by Haley Joel Osment. Young Forrest, the character that became Tom Hanks, and Little Forrest, I had them screwed up in my head, but Little Forrest was actually Haley Joel Osment.
Is he smart?
Yeah.
But we're not doing that segment anymore, are we?
No.
The fat guy in V, I thought that maybe the fat guy in Malone, they were the same. They are not. The fat guy in V is Mickey Jones. The fat guy in Malone was Dennis Berkeley. They both played your favorite kind of guy. Burly bear bikers.
Okay.
In different multiple TV shows and movies. And then I had also mentioned that he had the armor piercing bullets that could penetrate the visitor's armor.
Yes.
Get the charges, I'll cover you. You got a Teflon load in this.
You bet.
All right.
That, of course, is Michael Ironside.
Yes. Which I watched a couple of clips from that. He's a badass in that movie.
Yes, he is.
In those three episodes.
What is his name? He's got like a almost a porn star name in that.
Oh film. God, it's not Stryker. It's
Stryker. Stryker.
Yeah, it's something.
Okay, and actually a couple other things with the same thing about those characters. Dennis Berkeley and Mickey Jones were both actually in Tin Cup.
Ah.
And the guy who played Tiny in Roadhouse was John William Young. They all have one thing in common.
They're fat?
They're all dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's usually what happens to fat guys.
Okay, Dawson, who's downstairs, so he's probably going to hear this. When I played for him to talk about the iPhone expandability,
mm-hmm.
and he doubled down. It's not that it's not possible. It's that I am not smart enough to know how to do it. No, okay. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Let's take it to the Apple stores. They can do it at the Apple store. I'm sure they can do it.
Yeah, or you could just buy the extra iCloud storage.
Yeah, that's probably...
He probably has like 12,000 photos and videos and shit.
Yeah. I don't even know what it possibly could have, but Ham Tyler was his name.
Ham Tyler, yes. But he just went by Tyler.
Yes.
Okay. I have nothing else, my friend.
Okay. I actually talked to your wife a little bit this week. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And Beth said, you might know what it feels like, but you have no idea what 5.5 inches looks like.
Okay.
Talked about Diane Chambers in the beginning of Night Shift.
Mm-hmm. Oh, give me a break.
Well, give me a break. You think this is a thrilling morning for me? Huh? Eat an Egg McMuffin, look at a dead guy.
Look, honey,
I'm not your honey.
Okay. What was said in Malone? Sweetheart?
Yes.
Okay.
Norman D. Golden II was the cop in Cop and a Half. And it was directed by Henry Winkler.
Oh, wow.
And Golden is actually from Racine.
Ah.
Kenneth McMillan, who played the sheriff in Malone, played Sting's uncle in
Dune. Okay.
Know who else was in Dune?
Sting.
Jürgen Prochnow.
Yes, Jürgen and Jean-Luc Picard.
Other movies that McMillan was in included Runaway Train.
Runaway Train. Yeah.
And
that's probably my favorite, one of my favorite beds that I ever did.
I like that song, and I probably will ruin one of your favorite songs later today.
Perhaps.
I said that this is a thing that should have appeared when Lauren Hutton called in to the agency last week.
SATCOM 7.
Western Europe unsecured.
Designator?
Bravo, Echo, 1-1.
Connecting.
This is Brent.
Go secure.
Yeah.
Is that Mission Impossible?
I think that's Rogue Nation, yes.
Okay.
Cynthia Rhodes, filmography. Xanadu, which you said you'd quit the podcast if we did. Flashdance, which we've done. We did do it. Alive.
We did Flashdance, yeah.
Runaway, which is this week. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
What was she in Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
No clue. Teenage Dream, but that's unconfirmed according to IMDb. I don't know what that means. And Curse of the Crystal Eye.
Oh, okay.
I said, seems like Old Times was the play about the people that have an affair every year. It's actually same time next year.
Ah, seems like Old Times was Kurt Russell and Robin Williams. Football movie, Bakersfield.
No, that is, no. It seems like Old Times is Chevy Chase.
Ah, what's the football movie with Kurt Russell and Robin Williams?
It's close. It's got times in there. I don't know what it is.
Just like Old Times?
No. I'll look it up, but you said something about Cliff Robertson, and what was he in a commercial for?
AT&T.
This is an AT&T Long Distance Command Center, where engineers make sure your calls go right through. It's a unique system only AT&T can bring you, with thousands of ways to get from here to there. And there are 7 more centers like it, because we're not about to take chances that busy circuits could keep you waiting.
Well, she definitely has my hair.
For over 100 years, when you reached out, we were there. And you can keep it that way. AT&T, the right choice.
Are you into long distance relationships?
No.
No? Then why don't you reach out and touch someone?
Oh, Jesus.
Got it in. The best of times.
The best of times.
Okay, and moving on.
Hey man, what's new now? What's fucking new now?
My week, so I will go first. And this actually probably could go in what you watch in, but I'm putting it here because I don't want to forget about it. And I think it has a little bit more discussion around it.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about how things pop up in your suggested things, whether they be Facebook reels or YouTube videos or whatever for different things.
Uh-huh.
I had one that popped up for me this week, and according to the title, I had to watch it. It was called Woman Arrested for Playing with Herself on Beach.
I've seen that.
Okay. So one of the things I used to be known for on Facebook for people I worked with was they loved the fact that I would start a Facebook post and it'd be about something and then it would have this massive swerve.
Okay.
Do you know what the massive swerve of that story is?
No.
The woman killed herself.
She did?
Yes.
That was a while ago too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I remember. I think I saw the YouTube clip.
It was body cam footage.
Yeah.
And she made the cardinal mistake or the cardinal sin. She confessed to it and she was arrested, publicly embarrassed. The footage was publicly released.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading through some of the comments about it and it's like, well, this woman should have never been embarrassed this way. And someone brought up a great point. If it was a man and not a woman, there would not have been any sympathy for her in that arena.
Okay.
If a man was jacking off on the beach and he got arrested,
yeah,
nobody would feel bad for him at all.
I noticed that a lot of what shows up in my feed is a hell of a lot more women banging their 14 or 15 year old students than men banging their 14 or 15 year old students. It seems like it's a lot more salacious and ooh, let's see the picture and let's see how hot she is. And then the comments are, well, shit, if I was 14 or 15 back in high school, I wouldn't feel abused.
Well,
that happened to me.
That's, and then there's the South Park thing where that happened on South Park and the cops just keep on going, nice.
Okay.
I read this thread about, actually it was a story about Apple and Apple Podcasts, how they've changed their reporting methodology. And it actually has actually caused a lot of popular podcasts, their numbers to go down because they've changed the way they're reporting it.
Okay.
And I read the thread, the common thread that went along with that story, and people were talking about, well, too many people have podcasts anyway. Nobody really cares about what you did in high school. Like, that's us.
I care.
That's us. But then this has been a while, so.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Based on the time of year and what's happened the last couple of days, can you guess on what this is about?
Snow?
Yes.
Okay.
Anything else?
The Packers?
Nope. My neighbor.
Oh, okay. The guy that doesn't shovel the sidewalk.
Right. So I, as a New Year's resolution, I said I wanted to be nicer and I wanted to be less judgmental. And I caught myself still being judgmental the other day because I was at this turn out of the post office and you have to turn left to go to where I was going. And you can't fuck around. There's not big openings, but there's openings so that you can go. And somebody was waiting for there to be no traffic at all. So the car in front of me, I am motherfucking this guy. It wasn't him. It was the car in front of him that was really tiny. So
okay.
I felt bad about that. But then I thought, okay, I'm gonna stop preemptively motherfucking people. And with the whole thing with the snow and the guy not shoveling a sidewalk, I was going to motherfuck the guy. And where my office is, where I do the podcast from, is up on the second floor. And I can actually see down to the corner. Sure as shit, it was shoveled all the way to the corner.
Hey, how about that?
Then Jen walked the dog. It was shoveled all the way down to the corner, but not the other way. He didn't do it. Our neighbor did it.
Oh, jeez.
So I should have motherfucked him, but...
And that's what really grinds my gears.
Whose dog is Benny? I think we've talked about this, but...
That would be Bess's. He's more attached to her. Although he comes to me seeking play, which is, sometimes it's a pain in the ass. I think whoever pays the most attention to him, then he seeks out that attention. The interesting thing about him, and I don't know how your dogs are with the people in your house, is He loves on each one of us differently, and he plays with each one of us differently.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Both dogs do. But Whiskey, the new dog, who Jen was gone for the first couple months we had him, she leaves and he will just whine and he will sit at the door and just sit there. And when she leaves for work, I will have to take the dog, take him downstairs, walk him around the house, show that she's not there, open the garage door, show him that the car is not there, take him outside so he can potty, and then he'll calm down.
Dog seems like a real pain in the ass.
A little bit. There was a survey on the news tonight because Ohio State hired a new offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah?
So what are expectations for next year for the Ohio State football team? 76% of fans expect them to win the national championship.
Oh, okay.
That is why this community is ridiculous to live in.
Okay.
Even if you are the best team in the country, it's still a 50-50 shot whether you're going to win because things happen.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure they do.
But the last thing I have is, for those of you who follow us on Facebook, you might be a little surprised. This is a regular podcast. Something is happening. Maybe. And it's big, I think. And I'm excited about it. But we can't really talk about it.
I'm nervous about it.
I'm nervous about it. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but if it does happen, it's like, wow. But that's all I have. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We had a ketchup revolt in our house last week.
Why did someone buy a generic? We were out of ketchup
and my missus said, no. I said, well, I'm going to Menards. I'll get the ketchup there. And I bought two bottles of it and I brought it home and we popped it open because we had burgers and it was Hunt's. And everybody was like, oh, what the fuck? Hunt's, because we always were a Heinz family, except Aldi has the generic brand. But what it turns out that Aldi's generic brand is Heinz.
Okay.
Which is why nobody ever, you know, complains. But this was, it was no good, man. The Hunt's was no good whatsoever. So I had to go, we threw it out. Well, I take that back. We threw out the one bottle that we had opened and we're giving the other bottle to the food pantry. And some poor family is going to be like,
oh, goddamn.
Who the fuck donated Hunt's?
Well, there goes our shot of having Hunt's and then just as like a you alluded podcast to, sponsor.
Yes. Yes. We had the snowstorm. Over the course of 3 days, we had 14 inches of snow. And we had hired a plowing service this year. And they came once, halfway through the storm, and then it took them forever to come back. And, well, what happens? You come and go. You leave and you pack down the driveway with tire tracks. So now he plowed, and he did a shitty job because he waited until the last night. And I really shouldn't lament my problems here because half the audience doesn't care, and the other half is, like, giggling that I have problems.
That somebody else plowed your driveway but didn't plow
good enough.
But he
waited and... Yes, and that it was 0 degrees. Well, now it's just a block of ice. So now we have basically a 4-inch pack of ice on our driveway that will be there until fucking March. But it was zero for... Fuck. I mean, it's still only 10, but for like 4 days straight, it was either minus zero, below zero, or zero. And what amazes me is picking up the boys at school and seeing these kids come out. No jackets. One kid had shorts on and Crocs and a hoodie sweatshirt.
I saw somebody in flip-flops at the grocery store yesterday.
Yeah. Who the fuck lets their kids go to school with no jacket when it's minus 5 degrees outside? So we have a Cooper's hawk that has kind of made its home around us. Bess feeds the birds. She's got four bird feeders and she goes out there and she's kind of like St. Francis of Assisi. She goes out there with her pitchers of birdseed and all the birds sit in the two trees and chirp at her like, yay, yay, you're here with the bird feed.
Or you're not going to do your bird impression?
I don't have a bird impression.
Yeah, though. Hey. Oh God, how does it go? It's like the hey, bird man. Is, yeah.
Hey, I've been waiting for you here to open the garage.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it is.
Yeah. But as soon as she leaves, the birds just flock to these four feeders. And it brings her joy. And it impacts my pocketbook a little bit, but it brings her joy. Well, this Cooper's hawk has moved in, and it sits in this pine tree in the neighbor's yard, and it just sits there and it waits for its opportune moment and swoops in and snatches a bird off the bird feeder. I mean, they usually eat rodents, but there's fucking 14 inches of snow in the ground. So it's got to improvise. And, you know, we're watching it. And my youngest is like, oh, my God. And I start singing the circle of life. It's the circle. And Bess is like, I can't believe this. And I'm like, you've created a killing ground. And it's, so it's awesome. Every time the Cooper's hawk moves in, we just sit there and we watch. We wait to see which one of the little finches or sparrows gets snatched. And then let's see. High school orientation. Jesus Christ, man. It was not this hard when we were kids, was it?
I don't remember it. So, I mean, is it you're talking about all the shit you got to buy?
Just all the different fucking meetings and passwords and shit that you got to sign up for and just everything. And what was it about 6 months ago, 9 months ago? You claimed that I said that your youngest son looked like a douchebag because of his hair.
Okay. Well, I mean, that doesn't, you know, narrow it down, but.
Yes. I never said he looked like a douchebag. I said his hair looked ridiculous. Okay. I take that back. He looks completely normal compared to some of the fucking boys they look like they're homeless, man. And they look so stupid with it. Like some of the kids, when they're walking, they have to tilt their head up and point their chin out so they can see through the hair or under the hair.
Okay.
I mean, they look so fucking stupid. And I get it. We had the mullets and stuff, but most of the people that had the mullets, it was nicely manicured and groomed and everything.
Yeah, it wasn't wild. It wasn't like we just let it grow. We still got haircuts. It's just we got a haircut that way.
These boys look like they're fucking slobs, and they dress like slobs too. So thank God my son has said I'm not succumbing to that fad. He just has a normal haircut. So, and then we went to my youngest had a half day of school. So I promised him that because he was using a buddy's bat at the end of last year, and he was cranking doubles every time he was up to bat. So I said, okay, we'll buy you that bat this year. And I knew it wasn't going to be cheap.
$350?
But $300.
Okay.
You know, but with a new glove and a new pair of pants and a new pair of cleats, you know, we walked out of Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, dropping $470 on top of the $500 hitting clinic that he's doing for 8 weeks. And then the $150, you know, registration fee. So we're brand into rec baseball. The thing that I said, oh my God, why would you be in select? It costs so much money. Here I am, the fool. So that's about it. That's okay. What I got.
Hey, moving on.
Matt and Doug are at it again. Guess that sound and you are awesome. What movie will it be from? I really want to know.
Okay, three clips.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving you anything.
Okay.
Except it's short.
Ah. Play it again. It's sword fighting. Play it one more time. I have no idea.
Okay, here's the hint, which you'll get it from this, definitely.
Okay.
Look out!
Okay, so it's Back to the Future. But what's the clip? What's the sound?
It is the license plate spinning around immediately after it goes back in time.
Okay.
And here's the reveal.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Okay.
All right.
Ready for the movie itself?
I guess so.
One take.
Thank you.
these robots dangerous? I thought a spider had eight legs. At least Ramsay has a dick broom. Now with the girl from Flashdance and Savick from the Wrath of Khan, this is the future in the past. These robots are run away. These robots are run away. Yeah.
Runaway was released on December 14th, 1984. It was written and directed by Michael Crichton. Crichton is best known for creating the TV show ER. It stars Tom Selleck, best known for not being Indiana Jones. Cynthia Rhodes, best known for being married to, do you know?
Kenny G?
Close, Richard Marx.
Okay.
Gene Simmons, best known for being the only human to rival Wilt Chamberlain for Mount of Trim Slade. And Kirstie Alley, best known for being dead. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 48 with critics and 32 with audiences.
Jeez.
It made $6.7 million on an $8 million budget. Did you see this film in the theater?
I did not. This was either a rental or at my mom's house on HBO or the movie channel.
I saw this on Beta and then did not see it again for 30-some years until a week and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
But the movie starts, and what is the studio?
Oh, it's the... No. Oh, it's the horsey.
It's TriStar.
Yes. Yeah. There's a guy in glasses, who is Tom Selleck, looking at a computer screen. And my first thought was to the soundtrack, okay, is this Tangerine Dream that did this entire soundtrack?
No, it is not.
It's not, but that's what I thought.
And that is actually something that I screwed up, is last week I had talked about the music from last week, and I was actually confusing it with the music from this week, because the music from this week is actually done by somebody famous.
Ah, who?
That's a great question, and I should have that in my notes, but I don't. I'll have it in a second.
But this fella that is looking at the computer screen, he's got a badge on. He's got some very 80s-looking glasses on.
Jerry Goldsmith, yeah.
Okay, sure. And I read that based on his bio that we see on the computer when he was born and how old he is, that this is supposed to take place in 1991.
Yes, somewhere in the early 90s, and I think he's supposed to be like 46.
No, 35.
35, is that it? Okay.
Yes, in his 30s, yes.
But on the screen, there's some computer graphics, and the graphics are actually of a chip. And do you know how to solder? Do you know what soldering is?
Yes, I have soldered. My brother had a home soldering kit when we were kids.
Okay.
And I did some soldering then.
I can solder like big things.
Okay.
But I can't do traces. I can't do like pins on chips or anything. Like, I can't do anything that fine.
Okay. But there's mechanical things that are doing things for them in this room. I didn't write down what they were.
Well, the first thing actually lowers a lamp for him so that he can see better. What was it that lowered a lamp?
Was it like a mechanical arm or something?
The claw.
Oh, yes. The claw. Is that the first of many outside the movie clips?
Yeah, I have a lot of clips. One from the movie.
It was funny. I sent you all my clips from the movie. I think I had 18 clips from the movie itself, and then you sent me one that you pulled.
Well, when I have your clip list before I actually do my notes, I actually, when I'm watching the film, I have all of your clips on the computer that's sitting in my lap, and then when it gets to a part, I play that clip if it's not blind.
Okay.
So that way I know, okay, do I need to add to it or is this good enough? And it also tells me I don't need to pull this because he did.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. But who's the guy that he's working with?
Oh, he's one of those guys.
His name is Marvin. I know him mostly from he's the boxer that can't speak very well from Harlem Nights.
He's in Rocky.
Is he in Rocky?
Yes.
And he's also one of the main soldiers in a movie that I've talked about on this
Hamburger
podcast.
Hill?
Nope. Boys and Company C.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
and then Rizzo from MASH walks in. You know, he was only in 14 episodes of MASH.
I find that hard to believe.
So do I. Because well,
how many episodes of MASH were there? There had to be like 180. If only one of us had a book about MASH.
How many episodes of MASH were there? 256.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Okay.
Yes. So, yeah, only 14 episodes. And so he's the chief, and he comes walking in with his new partner. And what's her name in real life?
Cynthia Rhodes.
Yeah, she is. She's darling, isn't she?
Yeah, I think it was a little weird that she's always made up at work.
And like a skirt and high heels.
And makeup.
Okay.
But he, there's introductions and, but you miss a part where there's a call came in that there is a runaway. And a runaway is code for a robot that is not working the way it's supposed to.
It's malfunctioning. Yes. And Marvin is on Zach Morris's phone getting this call.
Okay. But they talk about it's a farm robot.
Yes.
And after the introductions, Ramsey, or Lassiter, as I call him here, but it's the last time, he blows past her and he says, get to the chopper.
Yes.
But actually, his guy with the Zach Morris phone, he says this to Karen.
Well, that's Ramsey. If you're going to keep up with him, you got to move. All right, give me the pad, please. I need a chopper for Ramsey.
Radio tech, chopper pad 3.
Need your gloves with standard pro G's.
Standard pro G's.
Well, what was your last assignment?
Traffic.
Like it?
Well, they tell me working with you is a step up in traffic.
Maybe. You know anything about robotics and computers?
A little. Basics. I was going to be a data programmer. Do we need all this stuff to catch a runaway robot?
Jack, your coffee's on the pad.
Oh, great, Tommy. Let's go, partner.
Lieutenant Evans, pick up database line. Lieutenant Evans, pick up database.
So they're in the chopper,
mm-hmm.
And we cut to the only part of the film that was not filmed in Canada.
Okay. Yes. On a farm field, there's a mechanical arm gently taking a caterpillar off from the corn. And then what does it toss it into?
A chipper.
Yes. Why not just crush it, man? It's like so daintily taking this thing off. Like, I must not hurt the caterpillar.
Yeah. And then we see the rogue robot and it's just running through the corn.
Yes. It's out of control. And
on the chopper, they're looking up the details of the robot and it's a pest controller. The CPU is an 8088. And that actually is an old computer chip. So it's actually legit. She asks if it's armed.
Yeah, no, it's not. We may not need any equipment. We may just need to flip a switch.
Actually, that's where my claw clip was supposed to be. Just has a claw.
Okay. All right.
But
all right.
She says, she asks if it's dangerous. And he says it's only programmed to look for things smaller than an inch. And she says, that might be a problem. Is that a dick size joke?
I think it was. I do think it was.
But he smiles. And then the whole thing about throwing the switch. And he's been doing this for a while. And they're almost there, but he's having a problem. What problem is he having?
Well, she says almost there, and he looks out the window, and yeah, he's got problems. We see the track of this robot in the corn, and you can definitely tell he does not like heights.
Which is obviously...
Could you tell me where the nuclear vessels are?
It's only brought up like 16 times.
Yeah, it's subtle. It's subtle yes. The way that it's brought up, but she tries to make him feel better, and he tells the pilots to just land this sucker and tells her to put on her gloves. And how come she has to be in this total bomb squad getup, and he's just in his police blues?
I don't, because he's going to make the rookie do all the work, I guess. I don't know.
He doesn't remove his tie, though.
He doesn't remove his tie?
No, he does. That's the one thing he does.
Well, because, I mean, if this thing's got a chipper on it, you wouldn't want to get your tie caught in there.
Fair point.
Yes. But when they get there, the farmers are bitching at them about how long it took. And my first thought is, and this gets answered later on, hey, you're a bunch of burly farmers. Why the fuck aren't you taking care of this thing? Why'd you call the police?
And I'm assuming you're saying it gets talked about later. It's because insurance won't cover it.
Yes.
But he asks, that's Ramsey, Tom Selleck's character, asks if they had it serviced. And he says, yeah, they've had it serviced regular. And the people tell him to get in there. That's what he's being paid for. But she's already out there. And she's chasing the robot, and she picks it up over her head. And what starts happening?
She drops it. It was a bunch of sparks. Well, she goes, yay, yes. And then a bunch of sparks shoot out. Michael Bay was part of the pyrotechnic crew on this movie.
Yeah. And he gets to her, and both of them are going after the robot. And there's actually a nice corn effect with the corn moving that was stolen and used in the Lost World.
Okay. And okay, sure.
Because there's a part where the raptors are going through the cornfield. It's very similar. And that's also a Crichton thing. And this was directed by Crichton. This was the last movie that Crichton directed.
Okay. Why didn't they just kick it over on the side? All you got to do is just kick it over, man.
It's probably got a gyroscope in there.
All right.
To be able to rebalance. But
okay. But they both jump on it. And then from a distance, from the farmer's POV, we see an explosion and a small mushroom cloud from the distance.
That sucker's nuclear?
Yes.
But he's smiling as they're walking out. She is not. And she has the very tropey clean spot where her goggles were. And the rest of her face is kind of darkened.
Yes. Yeah. And the farmers are saying, well, we could have done that. Well, why didn't you, motherfuckers?
But they're back on the helicopter. And she asks him how long he's been doing this, and he says he fell into it on accident.
Yeah, yeah. Something that he was interested in, took some night courses, and now he knows more about it than anybody else.
And she asks if he thought about being a regular cop. And he actually kind of takes offense at this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a regular cop job. But he did it. He can't handle it anymore. And why not?
Because of his vertigo.
No, you wouldn't run into that situation very much. And he cuts her off, and the pilot says that Lois called.
Yeah.
And he tells the pilot to call her back.
You don't have a Family Guy clip here?
No, but I have her image for a couple things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm not sure who it is because we don't hear her on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he's talking to Lois, and it sounds very much like he's talking to his wife from the one-sided conversation we hear. And she almost seems a little bit hurt by the fact that he's married, which is weird because she's been his partner for all of an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yes. Yeah.
But then what do we get from him?
Well, we get his backstory.
Why did Jack quit the regular force?
Yeah, why did he quit, Marvin?
What did he tell you?
He told me because of vertigo, but I don't believe him.
Well, it's true in a way. A few years back, Jack was chasing this guy. Bad guy. This guy ran into a building that was under construction. Jack freaked out, started sweating, couldn't follow him. Guy got away.
So a guy got away?
Yeah, well, later that night, the same guy killed six people. A family up in Ridgemont.
But that isn't Jack's fault.
Yeah, I know.
He can't blame himself for that. Things like that happen.
Yeah, well, he does. It's always on his mind. The guy that got away, that Jack let get away. He never wants to let anything or anybody get away from him ever again.
Is that why he's a robot expert?
Well, I think he feels a lot safer doing this work.
Then we get a little bit of her background, and she's had a series of careers that she was going to do over time.
Was going to be a dancer, but she hurt her knee, then did some data programming, and then she got into the police academy, but is cut off because we get another runaway alert.
709.
What's a 709?
People have died. But you have it written down differently than me because she was going to be a dancer, but she had a gag reflex. She was going to be a data programmer, but she's a woman. So, and then she was going to be a nurse, and that's when they get the 709. People have died. And then we are at what doesn't really look like a real house.
No, it definitely looks like Hollywood studio lot.
But did you recognize the type of car the cop cars were?
Were those Ford Tempos?
Yes and no. They were Mercury Topazes, which is the same as the Ford Tempo.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a car I had.
I know you did.
It's a piece of shit.
Well,
it's terrible.
Because how many cigarettes do you think were ever smoked in that car?
Three or four at a time. But there's a couple of dead bodies, wife and a sister.
Yes. We hear a baby crying.
baby's 10 months old and it's dead, not yet, and hasn't touched the kid yet, the robot, and got to save the kid. And a guy shows back the sheet to show Ramsey the bodies. And
why does he need to see the dead bodies? They're dead.
And if they're going to show him, why don't they show us?
Right.
I just thought that was odd. And well, what was the weapon?
A knife.
Ordinary kitchen knife. And
yeah.
And Ramsey says, get them out of here before they end up on the news. And he asks what kind of prep they've done. And do you know what kind of prep they've done to get him ready to attack the robot?
No.
They cut the power,
okay.
A white light bath, and a white sound bath.
Okay.
And then he asks about a drone.
Yes. And what do they call the drone in this movie?
Well.
Oh, my God. That bastard left the floater.
Well, nice. But yeah, Ramsey asks him to prep a floater, and the guy asks for a cup of coffee. You'll get it in a second.
Okay. okay. But this isn't the runaway that they're going after. It's a newer model. It's battery powered and it sees and hears everything.
Yeah. Cooks meals, answers doors, hand jobs, standard stuff.
Sure.
And Ramsey asks if it is standard. And what does he mean by standard?
I don't know.
Is it modified?
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Modified. Okay. And then the media shows up. And the media has a strange relationship with the police in this movie, don't they?
Right. Yeah. It's very, very much, fuck you, get like, out of my face.
Well, it's
if it bleeds, it's almost like,
well, it's almost like it's a state-run news agency that supersedes the authority of law enforcement. Like, they can get in there and show everything, which they kind of do. But she, the reporter, she wants a feed of the floater.
You're missing the whole part about, they say that the husband's there.
Oh.
And then Ramsey asks about the floater, and the guy says, hey, okay, get me some bran. Once again, think about it. You'll get there.
All right.
But the reporter wants a feed on the floater, and the public has a right to know. And someone says, there's a chicken in there right now?
No. He says, you don't want to cut up baby on the news. And the reporter goes,
it's a chicken.
she smothered her own baby.
But Jesus. She goes, we'll be the judge of that. And Ramsey goes, not tonight.
And they launched the floater, which is a good idea. But this movie actually gets some things pretty close as far as what's going to happen technology-wise. And the drone thing is legit, except for the drone that they have. It's a single rotor drone, which would not work.
It would just spin around and around and around.
Exactly.
Yes. But the floater goes in. We see the feed. It looks like the runaway dropped the knife. And then we lose the feed and we hear a bunch of gunshots. And just by hearing the gunshots, somebody confirms that it's a 357.
And Ramsey wants to know how big the robot is. And do you know what they say?
No.
It's about the size of a Stetson box.
Okay.
But I'm sorry. I totally missed it. What type of gun did you say it was?
A 357.
Yeah, it's a Magnum. And he's going in. Ramsey's going in. And the other guy wants to send in the disarm robot. And no lights, no audio, no nothing. And he goes over, before he's going in, he's going over to talk to the dad. The husband.
Yeah, the husband, whose name is Johnson.
Okay, hold on. That's weird. Hold on one second. And just so you know, I did not listen to this, but this was one of the ones that I wanted to actually do as well. So I know you threw something in somewhere in the middle, but I matched up the waveform of the audio because I did something with it as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm going in.
You're going in. We can send a disarm robot in.
It hit the floater. It'll hit the disarm, and any minute it's going to decide to hit the kid. Look, I want light lines out here. No audio, no talk, no radio, no nothing. I don't want it picking up what we're doing. Mr. Johnson?
Johnson?
Okay.
Mr. Johnson?
Johnson?
I'll be going in your house soon to get your baby. What modifications were made to the robot?
I didn't make any modifications. I didn't touch that thing.
Then why has it gone out of control?
Well, how should I know? You think I should have some idea why it's doing this? Why should I know?
Hey, come on.
Take it easy. I'm just asking.
Well, don't ask. I don't know.
Well, what about the gun?
It's got a gun?
Yes.
Oh, my God, he's crazy.
Who's crazy?
Oh my God, he's crazy.
No, who's crazy?
Wait a few words, please.
You can have two. Fuck and you.
No pictures, you pinko bitch.
No television. No pictures. I won't be on television. No pictures. No television.
What was his problem?
I think he took his wallet.
Yeah, he was really upset. That was very hot stuff.
Yeah, the photog was the guy. You like that?
Was that from Die Hard 2?
Yes.
Okay.
The photog wants to know what the guy's problem was. And
yeah.
The guy's wife and daughter have been killed.
Right.
But,
right. But Tom Selleck, Ramsey, he puts on some mithril.
Okay.
Are you familiar with what mithril is?
No.
It's the elven woven jacket that Frodo puts on in Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay. That's yes. Why I don't know.
I know, because you've only seen those once, correct?
Correct, yes.
Did you ever see the Hobbit movies?
I saw the Bashkin one.
Okay, but you haven't seen the Peter Jackson ones?
No.
They're terrible. They're really bad.
But the bassist from Kiss is there.
With his long tongue. Have you ever seen Kiss live?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so have I.
I saw
them. They were old. God, this goes back to, 2002, maybe 2003 that I saw them. So 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of their stage stuff didn't work. And they had footage on the big screens behind them. Older footage of them, you know, doing the splits and just rocking out. And basically they looked like Mick Mars up there on stage.
I saw them in, I think, 96.
Okay.
It's when they first got back together and put the makeup back on.
Yeah.
And they were really, really good.
Yeah, they sounded great. Ted Nugent opened for them. And Ted Nugent was awesome also.
But the reporter asks if he's going in. And Ramsey's... The robot can hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Shut up. He's putting on an electromagnetic scatter suit.
And what kind of weapon does he have?
A laser?
He's got a little laser gun.
Yes.
And he fires it so we know what it is.
Yeah. Well, the reporter questions what his next move is, and he kind of cusses her out politely. And he says, hey, you're broadcasting on the signal that the robot reads.
And he creeps up to the front door, he sneaks in, and there's like blood here and there, and there's bloody tracks, and he jumps across an opening between doors, I'm guessing.
Yes. And then the reporter says, our cameraman is accompanying him. What?
Ramsey's trying to wave him away.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Yeah.
And the photog coughs.
Uh-huh. And then we hear the baby and some gunshots. And did the cameraman get it?
Well, he didn't get the shot.
No.
But he got it.
Yeah, he got it. Right.
But all Ramsey they show is some blood on his arm. But
he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Yes. Ramsey sees the baby crib, two more gunshots, and we hear a click in between each gunshot. So I'm like, okay, is this a .357 automatic, which they do exist, or is this a revolver? And how many shots do revolvers typically hold, Matt?
Six.
Okay. How many shots does this robot fire?
Eight.
Yep.
Well, there's also a shotgun that's heard cocking.
Okay.
So does the robot also have a shotgun?
I don't know. But there's some cat and mouse stuff. So this movie is like Malone, which is like Roadhouse, according to you.
Which is like Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yes.
But he's crawling towards the baby, and then he stands up. He dives into a room, and he hides behind a nightside stand.
A nightside stand.
And a door slowly opens and the robot fires. And then Ramsey dives under the bed and fires under the bed and then jumps up over the bed and shoots at the robot again and takes it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not dead. It's not completely destroyed, but it's close. And Ramsey does something and the robot stops moving. And the mechanism with which the robot is holding the gun, not very threatening.
No. Like you could take a balled up pair of socks and throw it at that revolver and it would knock it out of that hand.
Yeah. I don't think it has a tight grip. I don't think it would be able to pull the trigger, honestly.
No.
But he comes out with the kid.
Mm-hmm. There's applause.
And an EMT takes the kid as Ramsey starts taking off his protective gear. And Karen asks, Are you okay? Yeah. Where's the dad? And where's the dad?
He disappeared.
Yeah. His kid is there and he leaves. But now Ramsey goes home and we meet his kid. And what's his kid's name? Oh, I should have pulled it here.
He's the kid from the Neverending Story, yeah. I believe.
Bobby.
Neverending Story. Have you ever seen that movie?
No. It's the one with the giant dog, the giant white dog.
Yes. And also this horse that he becomes friends with, like, and this is, I think this is where a lot of the kids of our age feared quicksand, not only from like the Bionic Man and Tarzan and some of those other television shows, but this horse, they're walking through the swamp and this horse sinks in quicksand. And it is a long, painful scene where not this kid, but the kid who's in the story that this kid is reading about is crying and screaming about his horse's friend or his horse dying.
Didn't that happen in the movie with the glaive too?
No. With the Krull?
Yeah.
I mean, there's quicksand in that movie.
No, that's why I meant. I thought it was in there.
Yes, yes.
He should have just thrown a giant snake to the horse.
Tell me it's a branch. Okay. What? Just tell me it's a branch.
But his kid, Bobby, and you didn't catch the Bobby is from.
What's that from?
Oh, Can't God. Buy Me Love.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. That's why I should have pulled out. I was searching for a Can't Buy Me Love connection here, and I did find it. But he was watching him on the news, and he kind of shames Karen for not going into the house.
Yeah.
And the kid asks why the dad ran away and also says he should take the kid in. And then we hear Lois, who is giving the time. And what is Lois?
Lois is a robot.
And Bobby asks if Ramsey was scared. Yeah. And the kid, he's up past his bedtime, and then he takes the kid. The kid actually talks back to Lois, who said it was his bedtime, and Ramsey admonishes him. And the kid says something to Karen about sports. Dad shuts it down. And then he takes the kid to bed. And then you have a clip here?
I do. What's the name of my clip?
Lois' wife?
Yeah, Lois' wife.
He is adorable.
I'm a beer.
Anything diet?
No.
Soda?
I will verify that Bobby brushes his teeth. Excuse me.
So that's Lois. With all those phone calls, I thought Lois was your wife.
Sometimes she thinks she is. Or my mother.
Do you have a wife?
She died.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Well, it was a couple years ago. Car crash. But Lois is a big help.
What is she? A Series 10?
No, Series 12.
Ooh, Series 12s are much better.
Yeah, a lot of Series 10s were lemons.
My mother had a Series 10 that kept burning all the toast. Started all these fires.
Lois is pretty reliable.
Bobby is eating a chocolate bar. His dinner, too, was nutritionally inadequate.
What did you give him, Lois?
Hot dogs.
Lois, you can't keep giving him hot dogs.
It is all he would accept.
Did he do his homework?
Yes, he got an A in math today. Will your guest be staying for dinner?
Me?
Oh, you're welcome if you'd like.
You are welcome if you would like.
No, thank you.
Oh, it's no trouble, really.
It is no trouble, really.
What are you, a fucking pirate?
Lois, I was talking to her.
Excuse me, Sergeant.
Well, actually, I better go.
You sure?
Yeah, thanks for the juice.
I thought for sure that the car crash thing was going to come back.
Okay, kind of like Lethal Weapon?
Yes.
All right.
It does not.
No, it does not.
But she leaves and she says, see you tomorrow. And Lois responds, she was talking to me, not you. And then Lois asks something about Karen. What does Lois ask about Karen?
Should I put her in my memory?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then and Lois says that there's a power surge from Bobby's room.
Yes.
But Bobby is watching TV under the covers.
He's watching an iPad.
And the camera pans up and Ramsey pulls out a different TV or a different iPad because that didn't exist back then.
Right.
And right. Bobby asks if Karen is still there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Do you like her? Sure.
Yeah. Does she have a husband? I didn't see a ring.
Can I smell your fingers?
He asks if Lois would go crazy and Ramsey's like, shut the fuck up. Go to sleep.
Did you ever like do the ring finger thing? Was that ever anything you ever looked for?
The ring finger.
When you see a woman and you're single, you look
to
see
all the time.
Wearing, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I still do to this day. I'm always just, it's just kind of, you know, unfortunately, curiosity killed the cat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I always look to see. And then when I don't see a ring, I go,
what's wrong with her?
Well, divorced, widowed, or is she just one of those women that doesn't wear a ring? Because there are some out there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think there's more guys that don't wear a ring than women.
I don't.
I know you don't. You're a terrible person too for that.
Well, not just for that. Yeah, I mean, but, add it to the list.
Add it to the list. Yes. But,
Bobby says it wouldn't kill you to get married again. And I'm thinking it might.
Sure.
And then they go back to ask if he was scared. Yep. And the blood and stuff. And then Ramsey asked Bobby if he was scared. And Ramsey says, it's okay that you were. Everything's fine now. Situation normal. How are you doing?
Yes.
And Lois says that dinner is served, but she has not gotten tomorrow's menu. And now we're at the office the mm-hmm. next day.
Yes.
And what did you say the guy's name was, or did you not say?
Marvin.
Okay, Marvin. That's the guy from Die Hard 2.
Marvin.
He's the guy who gives him the jacket that works in the tunnels at Dulles.
The airport. There's also another, shut the fuck up, Marvin. Fuck. To Robert De Niro, and we've done the movie.
Oh,
Midnight Run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes. They're looking at the robot, and what did they find out?
A non-standard chip.
And how can they tell it's a non-standard chip?
I don't know.
There's a red stripe on it.
Oh, okay.
It's nice that they make it so obvious.
Sure. But it's sophisticated. It was hardwired. And the instructions were modified.
And then what does the chip do?
It's got a dense pack.
It self-destructs.
Yeah.
And they jump on the floor, and then Rizzo is in the other room. Just
doing a crossword puzzle. And he just goes, assholes.
But the other guy wants to know what this is all about. This wasn't a runaway. This was a murder.
Yeah, this was arson.
If that was the case, should this movie be called Murder?
Murderway? Yes.
Don't maybe. Just murder.
Murder.
Jack has a call.
Yes. Oh, you're going to love this. It's a construction. And he pulls up to a construction site, and he looks up, and he just goes, great.
We have a lot of robots here.
This is nothing. You should see the construction project over on Maine. There aren't any people working there at all. There's hundreds of robots. No coffee break, no union hassle.
So what's the problem?
Stacker! Gone nuts! It's stacking where there's no place to stack.
The strawberries taste like strawberries. The snozberries taste like snozberries.
It's on the 18th floor. Come on, I'll show you.
Why don't you just shut it off yourself? Have one of your people do it.
Our insurance doesn't cover it.
Is this the same construction site that is at the end?
No.
It's not. Okay.
It's the one that she mentioned that it's all robots.
Okay. But Ramsey goes over towards
what's this robot doing?
It is taking bags of, I'm guessing, cement.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be stacking them, but it's basically dropping them off of the side of the building.
Correct.
And Ramsey starts walking over to the elevator, and his balls shrivel up.
Yeah. Hey, there's no doors on the elevator. Well, robots don't need doors.
He says, hey, you got this one, toots.
Yeah.
And he hands her an earpiece.
Yeah.
And we continually hear the bags being dropped from above. And she gets up to the 18th floor, and it's windy, and she's trying to talk to him over the earpiece. But there's radio interruption, and she's super excited. And how did she turn it off?
She flipped the switch.
And she goes over the edge. Over to the edge.
It made me very nervous when she did that.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, I'm trying to look.
Upper skirt.
Yeah, would she be wearing a skirt on active duty? Once again, who does she think she is? Troy?
Right.
But when she gets back down, they are talking, and they're talking specifically about machines.
Think it's better than it used to be when people did all this work?
Sure.
The machines always break down.
Let me tell you the way the world is. Nothing works right. Relationships don't work right. People don't work right. People make machines, so why should machines be perfect?
Well, they're machines.
Yeah? Well, that's not the way it is.
And when the machine breaks down, we break down.
Okay, which Vietnam movie is that from?
That's Platoon.
Okay. That was my second guess.
Okay.
First guess.
What was your first guess?
Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, okay.
When, because it kind of sounds like the guy who is handing out the assignments.
Ah.
You know, low stuff, classy, want to see fur.
Okay.
Still don't understand that. But he kind of brings up a good point. When is too much too much? When does it stop being a good thing? When does automation, the positives of automation outweigh the negatives of it?
Well, I mean, it's we see it in the movie WALL-E, which I'm sure you've probably never seen WALL-E.
I've seen parts of it.
Okay. Where all the people in the space cruise ship are just fat, disgusting slobs because they have machines doing everything for them. Mm-hmm. Everything is automated.
Isn't there a thing where WALL-E finds like a single bean plant sprout or something?
Yeah, yeah. And he doesn't find it. The robot that they send Evie? To Earth.
It's Evie.
Yeah, I think it's Evie.
As opposed to Jovi, because I kept on getting that backwards in the Elf podcast. But.
Ah, okay. WALL-E. Yes. But they go back to the crime scene and
a cop?
They check the...
Yeah, go ahead.
What? They check the door recorder?
Well, okay, first of all, a cop is vacuuming on her knees, and then Ramsey asks if they check the Ring camera. This is another thing that they kind of hit kind of close.
Yeah.
And he goes over to it, and he's doing playback, which is obviously a videotaped playback. And
of course. But yeah, there's some guy there that says he's worried about something at work. And then...
the basis from... Well, first there was a woman in a jogging suit.
Okay.
And then there was the squirrely guy who wants to meet him at the office. And then the bassist from Kiss is there posing as a repairman.
Acme repair, robot repair.
And it's been erased, but not completely. Yes.
Correct. I want to know who this guy is.
And okay, remember the fact that they had this on the Ring camera.
I know. It comes up later on. I'm well aware. No, it does not. But well aware.
For some reason, I say there's some chip porn in here. I'm guessing they show a bunch of microchips. But, oh yeah, it's because they're looking at microchips through a microscope.
Microscope, yes. Gene Simmons is
in a clean suit.
He's in a clean suit, yes. And he's with some other guy. And are you satisfied? Not only satisfied, I'm ecstatic.
Feel these nipples.
Sorry.
Feel these nipples.
And where are the chips?
Well.
In the pantry.
Some Lays.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Guy pulls out a sleeve of chips from the locker and they're not in an anti-static bag, but how do we know that they're the bad chips?
Do they have the red stripe on them?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. Are these dangerous? Well, they're valuable to the mafia, foreign enemies, anyone who will offer me the most amount of money.
Yep.
Mafia. How about my money?
Yeah. Sorry. Mafia, foreign governments, Amish, anyone who will pay him the money. But the guy wants his money.
How about my money? Well, where are the rest of the chips?
And
the chips in the templates are locked until we get paid.
And you'll get access after Johnson and I get paid.
Yes.
You seen Johnson? Johnson.
Yes.
Yes. Nope. Terrible what happened to his family.
Yeah. Well, I brought the money with me and the other guy sees the briefcase.
And then he sees what rolling by through the window?
A sentry droid.
It basically is just a trash can.
It's a copy machine on wheels, basically. Yes. And he looks at it, and by the time he turns around, well, Gene Simmons' name is...
Luther,
yes. He's gone.
But he left the briefcase and opens it up, and he it's totally full of cash.
He BF'd him. Well, the top and bottom bills are cash. The rest are newspapers.
And what does he call him?
Cut up people magazines. You damn evil son of a bitch.
And then the guy gets attacked by a misnamed spider robot.
Right. And which sticks a needle into underneath his chin and then blows up and he's on fire. And Johnson walks by and sees it and goes, well, fuck.
So later, Karen and Ramsey are talking to a street vendor.
Yeah.
And who are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for Johnson.
Johnson.
Yes. He checked in on the fourth floor and they go up.
They say he's the only, the guy who gives him the information said he's the only engineer in there. How would he know he's the only engineer in there?
I don't know.
Engineers maybe might be getting some strange trim from a hooker there.
Sure. You never know. Yes. But then Luther shows up and orders some black coffee.
Like my man. Yeah. And do you know what room Johnson is in?
No.
404, which has some significance.
Why?
404 is the error code for HTML address not found.
Okay.
And honestly, that didn't exist back then. But now it has, now it means something. It did not then.
Sure.
But Ramsey and Karen go into the hotel and he tells her to keep an eye on the elevator as he goes up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramsey is about to open the door and what happens?
Some gunshots go off and there's an alarm going off and...
Yeah, Johnson is shooting.
It's yes. You guys are the cops. Well, who are you expecting? Nobody.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. You were planning on leaving. You got a suitcase here. You got a door alarm and you got a gun and they're going to take him out of there. And he goes, I can't go out there. And yeah, they take him anyway.
Yeah. They force him. And there's a couple things where I wonder if it is bad writing, if it's intentional that they're doing certain things to try to convince who they're with to help them by putting them in harm's way. Mm-hmm. Because they do this with Jackie as well in a big way. But Luther is there and Johnson sees him and just bolts.
He takes off. Yes. And then Luther pulls out this crazy gun that I believe we see Tom Selleck holding in the movie poster.
Right. Which he never has.
No.
Yeah. And there's some shitty music in a foot chase.
Yeah. Ramsey finally catches him after a long foot chase. And then Luther shoots and we see the POV Tomahawk footage from Under Siege.
And did you notice they ran by a bunch of blue barrels from the shuttle bay of the Enterprise?
Oh, did they?
And when Ramsey caught up to Johnson, he fortunately pushes him into a conveniently placed pile of rubbish.
Okay. But the funny thing is okay. Well, he misses and then Luther shoots again and it's following Ramsey. This has got to be the slowest bullet ever. Yeah. Because Ramsey's just, he's run. It's a POV from the bullet and Ramsey is running and looking and then runs around a car. And this bullet's just kind of following him, going like 8 miles an hour.
It's slow speed, but the shell actually goes through a pipe, which I thought was kind of a cool shot. And it goes around corners and it hits Johnson in the back and then it explodes.
Yes.
And
snip into a Slim Jim.
Yeah, he's dead. Yes. And then Johnson or Thompson, I call her Thompson. You call her Karen.
Okay.
Is checking out a facial.
It's like an electronic way of doing a perp sketch.
Yes. And then I hit, wait, why? They have him on camera already.
Right. And the image that they're putting together blinks.
Does it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
But a robot dog is sniffing.
Nope. It's a Joe Biden robot.
Okay.
You can actually hear it going. Because did you guys have the type of vacuum cleaner that it was a component on wheels and then it had a hose, which led to the thing that you move back and forth?
Well, I have a shop vac that's like that.
No, but when you were a kid.
No, we had like the thing with the big bag. And
okay, we had this thing, and it was a fucking pain in the ass. You had to drag this thing around, and it had the kind of cord that was retractable,
mm-hmm.
which only worked about half the time.
Well, was it better than having to like wrap?
But I mean, it probably only worked half the time because we would just sit there and, you know, pull it out as far as we could and then give it a little and watch it go down the hallway.
Okay.
Yes. But that's what this thing looks like. It looks like one of those old timey vacuum cleaners, but it has legs and then it has like this long elephant trunk that is sniffing. That is The Fifth Element. You're familiar with The Fifth Element. And Gary Oldman's office, he has like this animal that cleans up messes and it has something similar to that.
Okay.
Yes. But then what's the name of my clip here?
Words I didn't feel like typing.
Yes.
Which makes it a little hard. Thankfully there was a time code on there.
Uh-huh.
But this is what happens after the Joe Biden sniffing robot tells the other guy what it is.
It's picking up diphenyl compounds and tetrahydrocarbons. The tetras are explosive, and the diphenyls are solid propellant like they use in rockets. How big did you say these missiles were?
About that big.
And they went around corners?
It shoots through schools.
It's in my notes.
Who's this guy?
His name's Johnson, electronic engineer.
You know where he works?
Company called Vectracon.
Welcome to Vectracon Security Systems.
Identify for retina scan.
Kirk, Admiral James T.
Security scan approved.
Okay, I didn't know where you're going with that.
Okay.
In my notes, it said, it shoots through schools. And then I didn't know where it ended. Mm-hmm. But I have next shot there at Vectracon. And how do they ID Ramsey?
With the retinal scan.
Identify for retina scan.
Yeah. I had that clip.
Play the very beginning of the clip and see if you can hear the robot sniffing.
It's picking up diphenyl
could
compounds and tetrahydrocarbons.
No,
could
you hear
not.
It?
No, I couldn't.
Okay, it is. It's sniffing. You can hear it sniffing.
But he asks for the data files for who?
Johnson.
And they talk about how good the voice is and ask what model it is before they actually get into Johnson's information.
Thank you for waiting, Sergeant. David Dave Johnson is 32 years old. He has been with the company 4 years.
A young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in a world of criminals who operate above the law.
A graduate of Mountain Polytech in electronic engineering, he has worked on several projects for this company. The Vectracon security system, the Phantom stealth missile, and the Stingray laser-guided smart bomb. For the past year, he has worked in the special projects division. In his spare time, Dave enjoys skiing, biking, and water sports.
Water sports.
Yeah, and it was a choice of Knight Rider, A-Team, or Airwolf.
Okay.
Where I was going to throw in the bio thing. But he says it's a PR thing. It does not help him at all. And he wants more information on the projects, but they won't give it to him. Why won't they give it to him?
Because it's classified.
And then there's a call, and Ramsey's, we're kind of busy doing something. But it's here. The call's coming from inside the house.
Right.
And Kirstie Alley.
Yes.
Is in an office. What is she doing?
She's having a heater.
And she is getting shocked by a sentry robot.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Who is she?
Jackie Rogers, one of the executive secretaries.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
We hear you, Miss Rogers. This is Sergeant Ramsey of the Runaway Squad.
Will you guys get me out of here? This damn robot won't let me pass. He's already zapped me twice.
You just sit tight, Miss Rogers. She's very attractive.
Yeah.
Is she supposed to be in there?
Maybe she's just working late. Let's see the runway. 577 Sentry?
Yeah, 577 with office checking routines on board.
Got it. Insulated wheel, steel hull, delivers taser shocks only?
Yeah, standard issue.
Yeah, we don't modify them. We just run them as a company factory.
It's supposed to voice and activate with a code. You know the code?
Mm-hmm.
It's an older code, sir, but it checks out.
Well, they try the voice code, and it does not work.
Right. Do you find it a little unusual that he goes, oh, she's awfully attractive, and the security guard's like, uh-huh.
It's the 80s. And, you know, credit where credit is, Kirstie Alley is attractive in this film.
Who would you take? Who would you take, Kirstie Alley or the blondie?
Cynthia Rhodes?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd take Cynthia Rhodes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
But they're talking to her character. Her character's name is Jackie. And they say something about the voice code, and she already tried that, and she's getting kind of cunty.
Well, she's been shocked several times.
Well, she gets shocked again.
Yeah, and she shows them on her arm where she got shocked.
And Karen wants Ramsey to put on some protective gear before he goes in, but Ramsey wants no part of that because he wants to be, you know, the big hero.
Yeah. And Karen goes, I think he's in love.
And he walks in, he says hello, and just stay put. This will only take a minute.
Yeah, watch out. I know what I'm doing.
And then he the robot force lightnings him.
Yeah, well, it's not set for sting, but now it's set for stun.
And then Karen does, I told you so.
Yeah. You want some padding now? No.
And he hits his head on a desk and then he peers over and pushes a monitor over and the robot zaps that. And Kirstie Alley is questioning his methods. Is this how you usually do it?
Well, not really. But then he distracts the robot, throws a coat over it.
Is that a bird?
And smashes it with a chair. And the security guard's like, hey, man.
That cost $50 million.
Yeah. Hey, it was a judgment call.
Scott, I'm going to have to report this.
Yeah.
And Ramsey says, well, I'll have to check your maintenance records. And then he asks if Jackie is okay. He's trying to help her, but she wants none of his help. And he insists, and her purse falls. And what falls out of it?
Well, he insists kind of hard. He wants to take her home. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, 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 no. He's like, no, really, really. It's part of my job. It's like, hey, man, you're just trying to get into her pants.
Yeah.
You got a piece of tail right there that you know wants you.
He's got Doug disease.
He does. He
can't read the science.
But yes, but yeah, he knocks over the box of chips and he picks one up.
How does he know they're bad ones?
It's got the red stripe on it.
What are these?
It's not my fault.
My fault!
He made me do it. He made me get them from the vault.
Who did?
Luther. They're his chips. I don't have anything to do with this. He said he would kill me if I didn't get them for him tonight. He said he would kill me just the way he killed Johnson and all the others.
Johnson?
He's evil. I'm telling you.
Where's this Luther now?
A meeting.
What meeting?
I don't know, please. I'm not involved.
Where is he?
The Ritz Hotel.
Come on, man, say it.
Ritz.
Ritz. You want some crackers? You can have anything you want. You want some crackers?
God damn, that's the best crack I've ate in my life. That ain't no regular cracker, was it? What was that, a saltine? God damn, that was delicious. That wasn't no saltine, no, that was Ritz.
Let's see, what I was thinking was,
boy, that escalated quickly.
He turned on her in a heartbeat.
Oh, sure he did.
But now we're at
Hey man, if you were sitting there and you were scared and you had 6'3", magnificent dick broom and all come down on you hard and yell at you, you would give up the goods too, man.
I was actually, I'm not sure about this and I was going to look it up, but she's dead. So I think it doesn't matter. Didn't Kirstie Alley have an affinity for the booger sugar?
I know she was into something.
Okay. Cause I thought she
was into drugs. And then I think, you know, gave up the drugs and the food took over.
Okay. And probably Scientology was in there somewhere.
Sure.
But yeah, we're at the Ritz. There's tons of cops there and there's a couple of guys in this room and there's a couple of girls with them. But one of the cops outside says they have a scrambler so that they can't hear anything.
Right.
And then Ramsey says, are the exits covered? No. And why aren't the exits covered?
I don't know.
They don't have enough people.
Oh, okay.
But, and there's a little bit of a callback here where he's a killer. I'm not going to let him get away.
Yeah. But he goes in and the door is already open.
Well, the guy, before he goes in, the guy that he was talking to says, hey, are you going to take responsibility for this? He's like, yes, I'll take responsibility. And he tells Karen, I'm going to go in. Are you okay with this? And she says, it's more interesting than traffic. And then I'm going in, come in when I say.
Okay.
But you're right. The door is already open and he pushes it in and he hides behind a door. And what does he see?
A topless chick in the bathroom asking about her purse.
And there's absolutely no reason for this to be in this film.
Not at all. Not at all.
She covers up. She says, please don't shoot. And Karen goes into the other room and then the woman at the bar starts bitching. You probably do not recognize this woman.
No, I don't.
She was the main female star of the TV show Sledgehammer.
Oh yeah. Sledgehammer.
She was the female lead.
Okay. That was kind of like a comedy.
Cop film. Cop show. Yes.
Cop show. We've seen that guy. Where have we seen that guy?
He was in that TV show that just won all the Emmys.
Oh, Succession?
Succession, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think that show only lasted one season.
Two seasons.
It did?
And it ended with he set off a nuclear device.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that, no, actually, I think the end of season one, he set off a nuclear device. And the start of season two, they just said, oh, that didn't happen.
Okay.
But nobody move. Ramsey comes in and move real slow and we'll have no problems. And what drops from the ceiling?
A floater.
And it gases everybody.
Luther left a floater. Yes. I think it's just a smoke screen. I don't think it's like CS gas or anything like that. But Luther starts shooting and he hits Thompson, Karen, and he hits a couple of the bad guys. And then he holds the lady hostage and he tells Ramsey to drop his gun and Ramsey reluctantly does. And then he goes, now kiss your ass goodbye.
And a bunch of heat seeker shots are fired and they take a bunch of cops out.
Well, they shoot three cops. Two of them are off screen. And he goes to Thompson. Thompson is okay. And then he chases him down the stairs, like the fire exit stairs. And it's got that gap in between the stairs that you can look down.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets some vertigo.
And he actually went up, didn't go down. So now he hears on the radio, they're up on the roof.
Yeah.
So he goes up on the roof. Luther gets onto the roof and he ditches the hooker. And I think she's a hooker. I don't know.
No, because she's in the...
She offers to blow a guy at the police station.
Does she offer... I don't think she offers to blow him.
I mean, not in so many words, but yeah.
No. But yeah, Luther takes off in a helicopter. And he goes back to the floor where all the action took place. And, well, the reporter's there.
And there are body bags that are already being closed. This is, what, the third week in a row where stuff happens really quickly.
Sure. Yes, it does. Yeah. Wouldn't like forensics be there and CSI and everything else? But Thompson's got all kinds of equipment around her, like a X-ray machine and some other stabilizing thing. And the bullet is inside of her arm.
Yeah. She's okay. No broken bones. And they're going to take her to the hospital to take out the shell.
Yeah.
Small problem.
Yeah. You move her. He goes and talks to the EMT. Ramsey does. And he says, hey, man, that shell is going to blow her arm off.
It's a fucking bomb. It's not just a shell. And the guy looks at it. He's like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
And someone warns Ramsey that the chief wants his ass. And then he says, I know. And Karen tells him to sit tight and she'll try not to breathe. And he says, just treat it like a blowjob. Breathe through your nose. And a woman cop comes up to him and they got to make on the prints off of one of the dead guys. Once again, really, really fucking quick.
Yeah, both of them. No, they give the bio of both of these guys. They're both highly educated and they are high-tech buyers. And I think Ramsey goes, but what are they buying?
Good question. And that's when the chief finds him.
Yes.
Now, Ramsey. Get over here, Ramsey. Get over here. Just who the hell do you think you are running an operation like this?
It's my operation.
Oh, it's a runaway operation? No runaways in that room.
Yeah, but we've been after
you screwed up good, Ramsey. We got two dead officers. Do you understand me, mister? Two dead cops. And we got two wounded. One of them your own partner. And we got two dead guinea punks. And nobody knows why or what the hell it's all about.
I know what it's about. It's not this.
Yeah. What is this?
It's some kind of new bullet. It's more like a guided missile, Chief, and it can go around.
Well, what the hell is this?
Disarm, robot. There's somebody in there with an unexploded fragment.
I know, but you can't use that thing on her.
Well, they sent for
it. You can't use this thing on her. They screw up all the time. We have to use it. It's a live shell. It'll screw up! It'll blow her arm off.
But can't you get a CVD?
There are no CVDs available.
Look at this thing. It's over a year old. They were never any damn good to begin
Jesus
with.
Jesus Christ, Ramsey, you got a hell of a nerve complaining. Haven't you done enough for one day?
I'll get the bullet out.
You?
Yeah. I'll disarm the goddamn bullet. Get this thing out of here. All right, clear out. We got a disarm job.
What is a CBD?
I don't know.
But the disarm robot got there awfully quick. Mm-hmm. And the people aren't listening to him when he says he wants the room cleaned. And he says he wants the fucking room cleaned. And the chief says, you're on TV. I don't give a shit.
Right. Yeah, there's a TV camera in there live streaming this whole thing.
And then the EMTs leave and they say, better get away from the door. And she's sweating and he kneels down next to her. And she knows now that the shell is a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him, you don't have to do this. You can let the robot do this. And she says,
I wouldn't miss this for the world.
And he puts a tourniquet on her, I think.
Yeah. Sit back. This is going to hurt like a mother.
And originally, it was a woman came in and removed the shell, not Ramsey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, hold still, man. She's coming for it. She's almost got it. She's almost got it.
She's got it. That works. But yeah. She's hooked up to a bunch of IVs. Why wouldn't they sedate her?
I don't know. It's a great question.
But he starts pulling it out, and they actually show it on a little TV screen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. They show it. It kind of goes out, and then it goes back in.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, whatever you do, don't move your arm. And what does she ask him about?
Don't you need your glasses?
They're in the car.
Yeah. Hey, bitch. And you shut the fuck up.
She laughs, and then she winces. Once again, the shell comes out a little, then back in. Then the whole scene reminds me a lot of... Nah, I don't want to talk what that reminds me of, but the
lethal
whole
weapon, lethal weapon too.
No, anal sex with the panting. Oh. But the in and the out, and is it in yet? Is it out yet? But did you get it? Not yet. Can't you do anything right? And she says everything's gonna be okay. Hear any good jokes? And we go back to the screen once again. This is really well done, and I can see it. I can see it almost there, almost there. And then what does he do after he gets it out?
He tosses it.
He tosses it over the bar, and and it explodes.
Yes.
And she's crying in his arms. And once again, she has an IV. She should have been doped up.
Right. Right. But they embrace for a very long time. And then they're at the hospital and he's been waiting for her.
Yep.
You didn't need to wait, Jack. I'm fine.
Well, I was worried about you.
I'm fine, really.
Hurt much?
No, not really.
Bet it does.
Jack, I'm fine.
What do you say we have dinner tonight?
Dinner?
Yeah.
Sure. I gotta go home and change, though.
You can go just like that.
I can't go to the restaurant like this.
Well, we're going to my place.
Oh. Okay.
I think we should get to know each other better.
I love it.
It's a good idea for partners to spend some time with each other away from work.
Oh, definitely. I think you're right, yeah.
And we'll go over the usual office routines, you know, station procedures. I mean, there's a lot of things you're gonna need to know. The chief isn't the easiest guy to get along with. I always take my new partners to dinner.
Oh, you do?
Just because you're a woman shouldn't make any difference, right?
Right. Well, listen, I really appreciate the gesture, but I think I want to go home tonight.
Why not dinner?
Just forget it.
She really wanted the D.
Oh, yes, yeah, she did.
Honestly, this probably worked out better for him.
Okay, explain.
Unless she's a lefty with her right arm in a sling, she'd have to give him the stranger.
Okay.
But
I don't know if that would be the stranger.
Well, you know, it's not her non-dominant hand.
It's her non-dominant hand, yes.
But he's confused as she walks away and he just shakes his head and
he
gets on the elevator and now he's at home and Lois is finishing up dinner.
Yes. Yeah. No other guest? Yeah, no. Sorry.
And your son stayed up to say goodnight to, and he goes in to talk to his son, and his son talks to him about the profanity on the TV, and I was supposed to have a clip here, but I forgot to pull it. I learned from watching you, Dad.
Right. Right. But then Lois tells Ramsey that he's needed at the station. And what's Marvin doing at the station?
He is he's using a water cutter to open up the bullet.
Where did they get the bullet from?
There was Ramsey actually picked it up. He said, it's about this. There was a couple of them that were sitting on a table in that room.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I don't know why you called it this, but this is the explanation of the Smurf bullet.
Smart bullet.
It said Smurf bullet.
I'm aware. I'm aware.
Papa Smurf is the icon for this. Okay.
Jack, look at this. The back half is all solid propellant. There are different valves for directional control. The nose, it's all electronic. You've heard of a bullet that has your name on it? Well, this one really does. And you can program it to go after a certain person.
And what's the signature?
I don't know, man. I've tried everything. Movement, light, shape. I don't know.
I gotta know, Marvin.
Yeah, I know you gotta know. I'm doing my best, okay? But it's tricky. My God, it's a heat-seeking missile.
Yeah, but Marv, they come right at a specific person.
Sure, because everyone's body has its own unique heat pattern. This is your body's heat pattern, and this is mine.
And what was it that set off the bullet?
Marvin was going to light up a heater.
And he was able to pull up their individual heat signatures awfully quick.
He sure was. Technology worked really, really fast in 1991.
Does everybody their own individual heat signature?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was really expecting Marvin to die in this movie as well.
But one of them says, this is a nightmare. Forget about A-bombs. They aren't the problem. Microelectronics are, as well as the chips that can turn any computer into a killer.
Mm-hmm.
And now Ramsey is talking to the chief, and the chief pulls up Luther's rap sheet.
Yeah.
It's a bad guy. Bunch of arrests that were either dropped or thrown out. He's got mob connections. And what is he doing with Johnson?
Johnson.
And he got Johnson to program the chips, but he likes to kill people.
Yeah.
And how many has he killed so far?
I don't know.
Five. And okay. Ramsey says, I want him. And how are you going to get him? We got something he wants.
Yeah. Well, and the chief goes, maybe you should go talk to our psychic.
Well, what is it that they have that he wants?
Well, they have his girlfriend.
And the chief actually says, a piece of ass isn't going to catch him. Talk to the psychic.
Yeah. Yeah. And as he's sitting there talking to the psychic, well, she's basically doing all the talking. She's saying that they have a real cosmic connection. Brothers in another time, you will meet again. You have what he wants. That's where we find out that we hear it the second time.
But
pointless. This was pointless.
I thought this woman was in other things. I could not find anything.
Oh, okay.
But
all right. But now we're in the lobby of the police station, and the girlfriend is there, and she tells the cop that she's an exercise instructor. Feel my body.
That's not the girlfriend. That's not.
Are you?
No, that's the one I said was a hooker. That's the one that was on the roof with him.
Oh, wait a second. There was two chicks in that.
Right. There was the one who was topless.
Yes. That's not the chick from Sledgehammer, is it?
No. The one on the bar who was bitching, and the one that Luther held the gun to her head. That's the one from Sledgehammer. He takes her to the roof.
Oh, okay. So I thought I was under the impression that there was only two chicks in that scene.
No, there are only two chicks in that scene. But the girlfriend is not that girl. The girlfriend is Jackie.
Oh, okay.
Is Kirstie Alley. Because when Ramsey is walking by, the girl from Sledgehammer, she is trying to get Ramsey to help her, and she calls him a wiener head.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
And apparently Karen got called back into the office as well. She's okay, but it hurts a little. And Ramsey has a phone call.
Yeah, I'm not here. Tell him I'm not here. And then Marvin tells him that these illegal chips are in production, or they're production etched. And Ramsey goes, so that means there's templates.
And then the guy says, Ramsey, you have a phone call. Somebody named Luther?
And he knows you're here.
This is Ramsey.
You're lucky to be alive, Ramsey. You should have led the robot disarm it.
And so you watch television. What's on your mind?
I watch, I look, I listen. I'm watching you now.
Yeah, right. What's on your mind, Luther?
You're standing by the desk in the middle of the room, punching buttons on the console, trying to trace this call, which won't do shit. Because I'm calling from a mobile phone. Now you're looking around. Now you're cupping your hand over the receiver.
He's tapped into the closed-circuit TV. Kill that monitor!
I can't hear what you're saying now, but you're right. I've tapped into the TV line. That wasn't very nice, Ramsey.
How'd he do that?
You're probably wondering how I did that.
What do you want?
I want my girl, Ramsey. I know she's there. I want you to turn her over to me.
No way.
If you don't, I'll kill her. And then I'll kill you. You can't run away, Ramsey. I'll find you. My little machines will find you wherever you go.
And Ramsey is frustrated, but he says maybe she has the templates. And what does he ask for before he goes to talk to Jackie?
A little bug.
And now he's talking to Jackie, and she immediately starts bitching at him.
You're supposed to catch him. I tried. Well, you didn't, shithead.
You screwed up, and now I'm dead.
Yeah, I told you about the hotel, and he's going to figure that out. And
we'll take care of you.
Yeah, I'm going to move you to a safe place. And she goes, there is no safe place. He knows everything.
And why is he looking for you?
Well,
I don't know.
Going to move you. This is putting her in danger. This is what I was talking about before. He has to know, especially somebody that was able to tap into their closed circuit, like camera network, them moving her is putting her in danger.
Sure.
But now what are they going to do before they take her to a safe place?
A debug scan.
And Karen goes in first.
Mm-hmm. She's clean. Fine.
Ramsey.
Yeah. Ramsey goes in. He's clean. Jackie goes in. Bug detected in her shirt. Okay. You got to take that off.
It's like, hey, this scene's starting to shape up.
Yes. And then her bra. I'm like, they're not going to show Kirstie Alley's boobs, are they? Yeah. Yeah. But she takes her bra off and of course, you know, does the hand cup and turns around. Okay. Now it's on your scar. No, or now it's in your skirt. Take that off.
Well, what is on her back?
Scars.
Yeah. She should have just said her name was Toby.
Oh no.
Yeah. Another bug at back of her skirt.
Holy shit. Look at this guy. It's from First Blood.
But there's another bug. Where's the last bug?
Well, her skirt, right?
It's in her heel. The last one. There's one in her skirt heel. And then there's one in her heel. And this whole time before they started in the bug scan, Ramsey is going through her purse. Uh-huh. These are the worst cops ever.
Yeah.
But he wants to know, why does Luther really want to keep track of you? And they go, now they go, all three of them go out to the garage and
they get into a Johnny cab.
Yep. That's what says Johnny cab. But one guy comes up and Ramsey starts bitching at him. But originally it wasn't just Ramsey that was bitching at him. It was Ramsey and Karen both yelled at the guy that came over and started touching the cars.
Oh.
What are you, retarded? Get off the fucking car. Hey, Dickless, get off the fucking car. Hey, fucksuck, get your slippery fucking ass off the car. Listen to me. Get off the fucking car with your fucking ass.
Shut that cunt's mouth or I'll come over there and fuck start her head.
Can't you see Tom Selleck saying that?
Yes.
One day I'll actually watch that whole film and not just the opening scene.
Okay. Oh, you've never seen it? I saw that film in the theater.
But it's no full escort. It's just these two cars. And Jackie says, you're crazy. He's going to catch us right away. They are doing that. They're using her as bait. You're sure using her as bait.
Yes.
Where are the templates?
Are they in her purse?
No. He says, where are the templates? And she says, what templates? And they said, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And, out on the street, the two cars are driving and a helicopter is seen almost immediately.
Yes. Why didn't they put the purse in the bug scan? Cause they're bad cops.
Sake of plot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. On the chopper, there's a lock on screen. There's some guys in a follow car and they got a lock on also. And they have some little remote control cars.
It's the remote control car from the Deadpool.
Don't they use that also in Scarface? Don't they? Do they have a bomb that they just put on the back of the car or something?
Never seen Scarface.
I've only seen that part. Yeah. And there's remote control cars in Deadpool?
Yes.
Okay.
But lock on tracking and Ramsey, and we forgot to say, Karen is driving one car, and then it is Ramsey and Jackie in the Johnny cab.
Yes. And Karen is blasting the remote control car with lasers.
Yeah. Well, Ramsey tells Karen, you're all clear, kid. Let's blow this thing and go home.
Yeah, Jackie's being a gigantic cunt, saying, you both are crazy. There's too many. We're bailing out.
How many cars do they, remote control cars, do these guys have?
A lot.
I think they blow up like 6 or 7 of them.
Yes, and they pull up the cars next to each other, open the doors. Tom Selleck creates like a bridge. And then, does she have to jump or does she climb over him?
I think she has to jump, but they do the Dahlberg car transfer.
Okay,
yes. And she hesitates and this whole time, the Johnny cab is updating. Situation is serious. Situation is dangerous. Yes. And Jackie hesitates and she jumps finally. But
she grabs her purse first.
And the remote takes out the other car and explodes. But now there are multiple lock-ons following
and
the
new car. They're still coming. Yeah.
And whatever it is, they're tracking it moved when you did. And then Ramsey looks at Jackie and Jackie says, you know, I'm clean. But she's kind of finger tapping her purse.
Yeah.
And he goes for it and she says, hold on. And she grabs some tampons and then she gives him the purse and he throws it out the window.
Right.
And the remotes blow up the purse.
Yeah.
This whole thing makes no sense.
No, it does not.
Because
like you were willing to die. Yeah. You were willing to die.
I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the fact that Luther is trying to blow this up because she has the templates with which he needs. If he blows her up, his templates go bye-bye.
And then he can't make any more chips.
Sure. Sure. But she pulled out the templates, and then he, Ramsey says, let's make a public appearance here.
And yeah, because I know Luther wants them and I want Luther. And did you recognize this location?
No.
This is the same location from Canada that is used in Shoot to Kill.
Is it really?
Yeah, because the waterfall thing, they actually run over the same part of the waterfall.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but they're standing next to a racist sushi sign.
Hi, you want sushi?
Two California rolls.
Hi.
You know, you got to be out of your mind to stand here like this.
Why? Where is he?
How the hell should I know? He could be anywhere.
Yeah, well, that doesn't do us much good, does it?
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. You think he's going to show up here? He's not going to show up, so let's just get out of here.
He wants these, doesn't he? He'll come.
Hi, sushi is here.
Oh, see, doesn't that look good?
Monday!
You had the tekamaki.
Ramsey. Let me speak to her, Ramsey.
Where are you?
Don't be an asshole. I'm like you, having dinner. You might say a night out on the town with your partner. Come on, hurry up. Officer Thompson here was nice enough to let me your headset. Move a little, dear, so we can see the gun. Take a seat with Jackie.
Actually, you answered my question. Is that part racist?
Yes.
But that's a big fucking gun that he's holding out.
Yeah, it is.
He's very, very brazen. That is the word that I use to describe him, because he does, and what he's about to do is so public.
Mm-hmm.
But Ramsey and Jackie start moving towards Luther and Karen, who are sitting at a table, and a maitre d' seats them, and Luther continues to talk to him through his headpiece, and Jackie lights a heater, and the waitress asks them if they want something from the bar, and Ramsey says, can you just fuck off for a little bit?
Yeah, give us a couple of minutes. Yeah. And then he's like, be cool. We don't want any shooting. And
Ramsey gives the templates to Jackie.
Yeah. You send Jackie send Thompson first.
Same time. But after Ramsey gives the templates to Jackie, what does Jackie do? Before
she tears them in half and she says, it's my insurance policy.
And Karen is walking towards Ramsey and Jackie is walking towards Luther, and a bunch of people are kind of standing in between them so that the view is obscured a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Jackie holds out the templates seductively, and he hugs her and she kisses him on the cheek. And then what does he do to her?
He stabs her and tosses her into a pool, and nobody seems to notice.
I don't know a lot about a lot of things. Skulls are pretty resilient.
Yeah.
The amount of foot pounds of force he would have needed to plunge a knife through her skull.
Yeah.
Pretty significant. But he says, goodbye, darling, sweet dreams. And he drops the body in some water. Tons of people there. Nobody cares. And then Luther then realizes that not all the templates are there.
Right. He fires a couple of times. He sees some more cops and then jumps into kind of a bigger pool down below.
Yeah, it's over the same waterfalls as in Shoot to Kill.
Yes.
And then they lost him awfully quick as Luther hides in a bush. These are really, really shitty cops.
Yeah, they are. They're not great.
But now we're back at the station, and the chief is talking to Ramsey, and Ramsey is not happy. Or actually, the chief isn't happy.
No.
What's next?
Yeah. Nothing. What are you going to do? Nothing.
Can't screw that up.
Yeah. Well, we planted a bug.
Can get him anytime. And then Karen comes in. They say they got a signal on the bug. And where's the signal coming from?
A hospital.
And unlike the Ritz, where there was just a handful of cops, there are a ton of cops here.
Right. And they go into the bathroom where the signal is emanating from. And it looks like they staked out a roll of toilet paper.
And they have the cliche stall by stall kicking the door in.
Yes.
That you see tons of times. Yeah, the bug is on a roll of toilet paper, and Ramsey tells Sally to go through the usual routines, and she tells some guy to watch the door.
Mm-hmm.
You think she has to take a shit? Or, but she picks up the bug and is slowly walking around the bathroom, and a little spider comes out from underneath a cart.
Right. Stabs her and blows up, and
it kills the guy too.
Yeah, he gets lit up on fire also. So,
but while this was all happening, where's Luther?
He's at the police station.
and he's dressed as a cop and he sits down at a terminal. And this is the thing I need you to explain to me.
Okay.
He pulls out an eyeball to log into the computer. I get that.
Okay.
Whose eyeball is that?
Well, he got a composite, I guess, of when Ramsey logged in at Vetricon. And then this is the little tool that he uses that has the signal of Ramsey's retina scan.
Okay, that actually makes sense. You're pulling it out of your ass, but that actually does make sense.
That's kind of what I was thinking. That's what I thought. Kind of. Did you watch the end of Reacher?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of the same thing.
Sort of. Yeah. Except that's actually an eyeball.
Right.
But even if that is an identical copy of Ramsey's retina,
mm-hmm.
when he logs on, why would it default to an info dump about Ramsey?
Right.
Because he knows who his family is.
Uh-huh.
But a picture of Bobby pops up.
Yes.
And then Ramsey and Karen arrive at the cop shop, and Ramsey's now pissed at the chief.
Yeah, for blowing it.
It was amateur night, and he says,
"And you blow it!"
Karen calls Ramsey over to a terminal. His info is still up, and
yes,
Ramsey calls the house.
Busy signal.
And he gets to the house, and it's actually thundering, so it's a dark and stormy night. But
Lois is all fucked up.
And her voice module is busted, and he tells Karen to patch it. And he wonders why she wasn't watching the door. And this is the Lois's fucked up clip.
Don't try to speak to her. She's losing a lot of hydraulic fluid.
She'll be all right as long as she keeps power to her memory circuits.
Bobby.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Lois?
Bobby was on the phone when an extremely unpleasant man came in the back door.
What about Bobby?
Hey-o.
The man forced Bobby to leave with him.
How long ago?
My clock is disconnected. I do not know the elapsed time.
Did he say anything, where he was going, anything?
He left no message.
Lois? Let me see.
I'm really sorry, Jack. I am really sorry. The dinner will not be painted in time. Sergeant Ramsey is not here to answer your call. Please leave a message when you hear the tone. May I show you to the door? May I show you to the door? May I show you?
Lois, do an internal diagnostic check.
Beginning diagnostic check now.
What'd you do with my son?
Give me back my son!
Listen, Ransom. Sucker.
Yeah, I'm listening.
If you want to see your boy alive, bring the other templates. Just you alone. No tricks this time.
You got my Ed McMahon in there.
Ed McMahon?
Yeah. Ayo.
Oh.
But he doesn't say where he's going, but Karen wants to go. And he says, no, I'm not taking any chances with Bobby. And he says, promise me you won't follow me and you won't call anybody. And she says,
fine. I promise.
I heard that. You said I promise. There is no L in promise.
That was actually surprisingly easy to find.
Was it?
Yeah. But okay. He leaves and Lois has finished her diagnostic check and there's a malfunction. Karen goes over to Lois and battery connection. She checks them and Lois is happy. And for some reason, Lois starts playing back the phone call that just happened.
Right.
And Lois starts smoking, but Karen now knows where Ramsey was going, and I'm thinking,
that was lucky.
That's not going to happen. But where are we now?
At the construction site.
And not the one from before, but the one that's all robotic.
Right, all robots, yes. And he looks up and is like, oh, fuck. And there's the robot spiders are everywhere.
Just a ton of them.
Yes, and
but Luther says, don't worry, they won't hurt you. And he's on a little TV screen that's right by the elevator.
Sure. Bobby's there. Says, drop your gun and get on the elevator. And as the elevator is going up, he's doing the grip of death on the cage of the elevator.
And Luther says, you better have the templates this time. And, well, technically, he had the templates the last time.
Right.
And this is where the vertigo thing pays out. And I don't know if you saw the buttons, but there's like an up button, a down button, a stop button, and then there's a fourth button. Do you know what the fourth button is?
No.
Human rider.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Ramsey is not enjoying the elevator ride, and I don't mind heights, but I would not like this either.
No, I would not. I'm not a fan of heights. Even if there's like a good railing or something, it's still, you know, I get the tingles in my testicles.
But I think they're about 40 floors up.
Something like that.
And there's a bunch of machines working, and Ramsey gets out of the elevator and says, "Let him go." And Ramsey or Luther says, "Of course." And Bobby just walks over.
"I want to stay with you, Dad." "No.
God damn it.
Go in the elevator."
Not even a hug.
Yeah.
Just push the elevator to go down. And mm-hmm. he does that, and the elevator starts going down. And then, well, this.
"The templates, Ramsey.
After he's down. After he's safe."
"There's a little problem about that, Sergeant. I can't have any witnesses. It's too messy. The spiders have been programmed to kill the first person that comes out of the elevator. Oh, they'll let you in, but they won't let you out. And there's nothing you can do about it, Bobby! Sergeant."
"Could you tell me where the nuclear vessels are?"
That actually pays off.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure does.
Ramsey looks over the edge and he calls down to Bobby. There's absolutely no way Bobby would be able to hear him over the sound of the elevator and the din of all the different robots doing robot shit.
Right, right. But Thompson shows up. She jumps into the elevator, grabs Bobby, and they start to climb.
And yeah, this actually gives Luther pause.
Yeah, and he's pissed.
He's pissed and he fires at Ramsey, but nothing comes out of the gun, but there's still an explosion.
Okay.
And a floor up, Karen calls the elevator, and then Luther fires at Ramsey again, but he's hiding behind a robot, and then that happens again.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramsey is opening valves, causing it to look like the carbon freezing chamber.
Sure.
As Luther is reloading. And then Ramsey jumps into an elevator, and it starts rocketing upwards.
Yeah, all the way to the top. And it's like the elevator goes past. It has the what do you call it? The elevator chamber or the elevator track goes past the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the way to the top. And there's a spider there.
Well, before the spider shows up, there's a really shitty blue screen effect and a long shot of him crawling towards the edge as, you know, he's going to face his fear to see how high up he is. And he looks really dirty. He's freaked out and he pushes a button on the elevator, does nothing. He opens a control panel and finds out that there's a reset button. And where's the reset button?
Underneath.
That's just bad design.
It is a bad design.
That's when the spider shows up. And it's not just a spider. It's a spider, then another, then another. I'm thinking, just kick him off.
Right.
Just shoo him.
Right.
And he takes his coat off as the spiders jump on. I call them walls, but it's a cage. So
it's a cage, right. And he climbs out the outside of the elevator, and the spiders are there, and one pokes him, and he falls. Wait a second. No, hold on a second.
One sprays him with acid. On
the
cage.
Yeah, he gets hit in the face with acid, and then he wraps one in a coat and tosses it. Then he climbs on the outside of the cage, and one pokes him. He falls, and he falls, but is able to grab a bar underneath the elevator.
Yes.
Like physics.
Don't exist.
It must have been, it was really windy up there. So when he fell, the wind kind of pushed him to the side.
And the reason he fell is because the spider stabbed him in the hand.
Yeah.
And he pulls out a cable from the bottom of the elevator and he monkey bars his way over to the control panel, which is under the elevator. Once again, bad design, presses the reset button, and then the last spider has come underneath, and he grabs that power cable and shocks the spider, and it falls.
Right. The elevator starts going down. He pulls himself up through the hatch, and the elevator stops, and Luther is sitting there waiting.
Yeah, he's just having a complete vertigo attack at this point.
Yeah.
And
that's good, Ramsey, but not good enough. And Luther gets on the elevator with him.
And he steps on his hand, and he puts the gun to Ramsey's head.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramsey presses the down button and they're struggling. And Ramsey presses the stop button, which causes Luther to fall the last floor or so off the elevator. And since he was the first one off the elevator.
Right. Lots of stabbing, lots of screaming. Why didn't they blow up right away like the other ones did?
It took longer to kill him.
Sure.
But now Ramsey goes to the floor with Bobby and Karen, and it's okay, son. And he thanks Karen. You all right? I'm okay. Bobby's hugging him tight, and they go down to the bottom floor, and Luther's corpse is there.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen and Bobby go towards the car, and Ramsey tells Bobby to call Lois and tell him that he's all right. I don't think Lois has taken any calls at this
point. No, I think Lois is done at this point.
But Ramsey goes over to Luther, and there's a really, really cheap jump scare here.
Yeah, there it is.
As Luther hisses at Ramsey.
Yeah.
And this is when the spiders start blowing up.
Yes.
And Luther is really dead. Ramsey turns, and Karen is there, and he walks to her, and then this.
You look awful.
I think I've overcome my fear of heights.
Not much?
No, it's all right. I'll get it taken care of.
How about dinner?
Dinner?
Sure.
Just because you're a woman shouldn't make any difference, right?
And then they kiss briefly, and then he boops her nose. And then what does he ask her?
Can you cook?
Try me.
Yes. And then they kiss for a really, really long time over the credits and all the and a bunch of Michael Bay pyrotechnics.
Two minutes and 15 seconds.
Is that how long they kiss for?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever kissed anybody that long before.
And after about a minute, Bobby lays on the horn and says, "What the fuck's going on?"
Yeah, I'm hungry. I want some mac and cheese, man.
So the movie is over. My movie, I'll go first.
Okay.
It started slow. It got marginally better. It's not a good film. I would not recommend it. It is surprising that the amount of things it actually kind of got right as far as predictions, but just overall, it is really, really not a good film.
See, you said last week, you go, it starts off slow. I didn't think that. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of liked it.
Okay.
So, I mean, no, you're right. It's not a great film. I you know, there's a lot of holes and issues and the robots are kind of shitty looking, but for its time, I still feel like it was an entertaining film. I probably wouldn't recommend it. Like if my kids said, "Oh, I want to watch that." Nah, don't waste your time. But it's not a terrible film. I enjoyed it.
Okay, so
playing out the stream.
So this is the second week in a row where I wonder if this was another film that potentially could have had sequels if it was successful.
Doubtful.
But I don't think so. I think that Ramsey and Jackie, they last a couple months.
You mean?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Karen. Karen, yeah. Ramsey and Jackie aren't lasting at all.
No, she did. Yeah. No, I think they stick around. They get married. Huh. They maybe even have another kid.
Because Bobby was very interested in his dad's sex life.
Yeah, he was.
And
yeah.
Making sure his dad was getting some.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's still pretty fertile. She probably wants a kid.
Oh, okay.
Because that's why she quit acting to be a full-time mom.
Yep, yeah. And I think, I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure her and Richard Marx got divorced.
I think so.
But did Jen watch this film?
No.
And now it's time for Jen's 2-second movie review.
I liked it.
That was Jen's 2-second movie review.
Jen!
Kind of surprised.
Yep. So, moving on.
What you watching?
My week, I will go first. First thing was football.
Mm-hmm.
Watched all the playoff games, and I bet on all of them. I was 3-for-6.
Ooh,
I did not get the Packer game right.
When you bet, do you mind me asking how much you bet?
It's a season long pool.
Okay.
It's legitimately $30 for the entire season.
Oh, okay.
No, I am not going to bet even $10, $20, $30, $50.
You're not a degenerate.
No, because I to me, it's I
I wouldn't be pissed at myself. It wouldn't be a matter of, oh shit, we're not going to make our rent because I bet on the game. It's just, to me, I just threw away $100.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons I don't like going to Vegas much, is because
it
just is such a waste of money.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about like playing fantasy football. That's the only gambling that I do. I used to play cards a couple of times a year. I got to be honest with you, I can't remember the last time that I played cards for money.
I used to play spot cards every week.
Okay.
And the spot cards that I had that I played were run by the mob.
Awesome.
Well, here's where it gets even better. The guy that got the spot cards that gave them to us was taking our money and not turning them in.
Oh.
And so when we won, he was not happy.
Okay. All right.
But
did he get fitted for some cement shoes?
No. It's just, I can't believe, this is Columbus. It's not like, you know, New Jersey, New York, but still the mob's the mob.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of dumb, but I got Kansas City right. I got Buffalo right. I got, and I got the Lions right.
Oh, you bet against the Pack. You went against the Packers, huh?
Yeah, they fucked me once again, pretty much every week.
Yeah. I said last week, it's either going to be close or it's going to be a blowout either way. I gave a non-answer.
There was, one game that wasn't a blowout?
Yeah.
And honestly, the Packers, and this pissed me off, the Packers totally let off the gas.
Oh, sure they did, because they thought, there's no way that we've taken the wind out of their sail. We can pull our starters. I got really nervous there at the end when they pulled within, two touchdowns. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, shades of Seattle.
Yeah.
So that could have went either way. So this week, there's four games.
Yeah.
I got San Francisco, Detroit, Baltimore, and then what's the other one I'm missing? What's the game I'm missing?
Kansas City,
and I'm picking Kansas City.
Are you really? Yes. Yeah, I'd take Buffalo. I'd take Buffalo, Houston, Detroit, and I hate to say it, San Francisco.
If Green Bay wins this week, they will go to the Super Bowl.
You think so?
Yeah, because it is going to be just like it was the last time they went to the Super Bowl. You remember who they beat in the NFC Championship last time they went to the Super Bowl?
Chicago.
Yeah, because Smokin' Jay Cutler was
hurt
on the sidelines, yeah.
And that was a really close game, too. Yeah, so, they blew out the Falcons in the divisional game.
Okay, so football. And then I finished watching Reacher.
Okay, as did I.
I thought something else was going to happen because the last episode, it was kind of wrapped up and I paused it and there's still 25 minutes left.
I know. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, okay, is something going to happen?
Something else going to happen. Yeah.
With the army, how they were, when they were kicked, something with the shady colonel is going to come back to bite them. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be something else. I was a little bit disappointed. It reminded me of in Under Siege, where you said that Gary Busey's character got off easy.
Yeah.
I thought that some of the bad guys in this season of Reacher got off easy.
Mm-hmm.
Their deaths were just a little bit too quick and neat.
Yeah.
I finished watching all the episodes that are of Lower Decks.
Okay.
And I also watched the Star Trek Next Generation episode Lower Decks.
Ah.
Which actually does have a character that appears or is referenced on Lower Decks.
Okay.
It's good. If you are not familiar with Trek, Lower Decks is it's just such, like, not name dropping, but it's reference.
Okay.
And so much of that. Finished The Amazing Race, and that was good. And Amazing Race is an interesting show because it'll be on and my wife and I will record it, but we won't watch it. And then we'll run out of things to watch. And then we'll play the first episode and then we'll be hooked and we will watch the entire season going through it.
Okay. All right.
But that's it for me.
Okay. Yeah. Football, finished Reacher, finished For All Mankind. I watched this movie on Amazon called Sound of Freedom. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yes. About, people complain about it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing to complain about in that movie. I mean, it doesn't have an agenda. It tells a really, really good story of something that I most certainly believe is true and more prevalent than we think it is.
That we want to accept.
Yeah. Yeah. We just kind of want to look the other way because it doesn't affect us. I watched this movie called Yesterday. Are you familiar with that?
Is that the one where nobody has heard of the music of the Beatles?
Yeah. It's okay. I'll never watch it again. I'm about halfway done through next week's movie, and then I watched a trailer for Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Yeah, the video game?
Yeah, that looks fucking awesome.
And wouldn't that be the way it is, though?
Of course.
You get a video game that's awesome after the movie that was just a shitburger. And yeah. How long has Dial of Destiny been on Disney? A month and a half, 2 months now?
Yeah, something like that.
I still have only watched like 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
And I will rewatch even Last Jedi. I've powered through.
Okay.
And it was just disappointing.
There were good, what, Dial of Destiny or Last Jedi?
Oh, Dial of Destiny is what I was talking about. Last Jedi I don't think is good, but I think Dial of Destiny is a whole nother level of disappointment.
Yeah, Last Jedi has its merits. It has some things that are good about it. Mostly not, mm-hmm. but there are some good things about it that I like.
I did get into a fight with somebody yesterday about Rey versus Luke, who's the bigger Mary Sue.
Okay.
And I listed off all the things that Luke did that was fucking up. And I said, give me a list of that's even comparable to that of what Rey screwed up. And they couldn't. Mm-hmm. Because there's literally probably a dozen things you can list off the top of your head that Luke did that he screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Rey just did not have that.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's
it. Moving on.
Watch out.
Oh, shit.
Watch
sorry.
Watch out.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. 3 degrees to next week's movie, and I think I like it.
Tom Selleck plays Ramsey in this week's movie. He plays Sean Murphy, not the guy we went to high school with, in 1978's Coma, who directed by
Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
And Tom Selleck, yeah, he plays it just a body that's hanging.
Right.
That.
Right. Ed Harris plays pathologist resident in that film. Harris plays John Glenn in 1983's The Right Stuff. Scott Glenn plays Alan Shepard in that movie. Glenn plays Emmett in next week's 1985 star-studded square dancing, sarsaparilla drinking, rootin' tootin' good time.
Urban Cowboy.
Silverado.
Haven't seen it.
Have you started watching it?
No, I actually was going to watch the movie after that first, but now that it's gotten deep enough, I probably will start watching it since it is 2.5 hours or 2:15, 2:20.
Yeah, it's not a short movie. It is available on Netflix if anybody wants to watch it. I've never seen it. It's got Kevin Kline, Kevin Costner, Scott Glenn, Danny Glover, John Cleese.
John Cleese is in it?
John Cleese is in it. Brian Dennehy, Brian James. Fuck, piss off. Rosanna Arquette. God, who else? It's a cattle car of stars.
I should follow that up with Bad Girls.
Bad Girls. Which one's Bad Girls?
That's the Sharon Stone Western. Isn't that what it's called?
Oh, I don't. Is Sharon Stone in? Sharon Stone is not in Bad Girls. That's Madeline Stowe.
I'm pretty sure Sharon Stone's in that.
No, Sharon Stone is in the one with Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe.
Bad Girls. No, that's a TV show I'm looking for. That's a Western, right? Western yes. movie.
I'm pretty sure it's Madeline Stowe.
Drew Barrymore, Madeline Stowe.
I was going to say Drew Barrymore, yeah.
Mary Stuart Masterson, Andie McDowell. Oh my God, she looks like a ghoul now. Dermot Mulroney. James Russo, Robert Loggia.
Hey, do you see a size of that chicken?
And Sharon Stone. Yep. Okay.
Sharon Stone is not in that. What's the one with, it's a Sam Raimi film. High Noon. No, it's,
Sharon Stone Western, Quick and the Dead.
Yes.
That's got, Gene Hackman in it. Is that uh-huh. Russell Crowe?
That is Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio. Leo.
Yeah. Keith David is in that.
He is in that.
And David yes. Keith.
No, and just Keith.
Tobin Bell.
Tobin Bell is in that?
Yeah. You know who Tobin Bell is?
He's the Saw guy.
Jigsaw.
Yeah.
I still have not seen Saw X.
I've only seen the first two. I think the second one has Mark Wahlberg in it.
No, it does not. But
are you sure?
Do you know who is in Fast X? Because I forgot that. I watched part of Fast X. The guy who plays Reacher is one of the bad guys in Fast X.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's a hardcore Christian, too. There's a studio called Angel Studios that puts out all these faith-based movies. He stars in one of those, in this one movie that's not out yet. But I didn't read the article, but I just saw the headline that said Reacher star says that he can be a Christian, a born-again Christian, and play Reacher also.
And Lance Hendrickson is also in Quick and the Dead.
Yes.
Bishop.
Yes. Bishop. Yeah. Wow. This was a short podcast.
Yeah. Some of the changes have paid dividends.
Have they?
Yeah.
Hey now.
Hank Kingsley.
Yeah. So, all right. I'll take us home if that's okay with you.
That is fine.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Join us next week for Silverado. Like I said, available on Netflix. The only thing that I don't like enough, I started watching it on Netflix and I got to my first where I was going to write down the time code. It does not have the time on the front end of the time bar, only on the back end.
Yep. That's a problem I've run into.
And
as
I'm
well.
Like, yep. Let's see if Matt has it.
So are you using Eagles for the bed? Silverado.
You fucker. Yes, I was gonna. I'm not anymore.
I actually found the bed for my next movie today when I was going to pick up the dog from the groomer.
Okay.
Because I had to take my wife's car and she is serious in there. So I was listening to the 70s channel and oh yeah, I'm using this song.
Okay.
Gotta find it, but okay. Anyways, continue.
All right. Yes. Reach out to the show, betamaxrewind@yahoo.com. Like us or rate and review where you get your podcast. It helps tickle the algorithm, helps find people like yourself, find a couple of, I almost said the R word, knuckleheads like us, and like us on Facebook. And we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
So, yeah, we'll see you next week. New button this week because I was not happy with the one from last week. So,
oh, you weren't?
No, I was not.
Okay.
So we'll see if this one sticks or not. But we will see you next week for Silverado on Netflix.
Yippee-ki-yay. Meow.